When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior.
to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Thank you.
stand out fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand up upon you, Jesus, you're my
ourselves. Lord, may our confidence be found, may our faith be found in Him who is able to keep us, to hold us, to transform us, to move us in Christ. When we are in need, may our first cry be to you, Lord. And know for me, sometimes I kind of figure it out. That might be a guy thing, I don't know. Just kind of get it mapped out, kind of just figure it out. But do we look to the one who has the answers? Doesn't mean he's going to give us the answer we like, or that we're even going to, you know, get the end story. Because we don't always get that. But we can have confidence that He is going to see us through, because He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it to the day of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
So let's find rest and peace in that.
There is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. You meet us in the morning with a love that casts out fear. You are working in our ways.
Sovereign.
Thank you.
bring suffering. Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me.
Gather in the name of Jesus and to sing your praises. Father, we want to hear from you. We are eager to hear what the Spirit says to the church today. So give us ears to hear. Help us to hear, not just with our outer ear, but with our inner ear, the ear of our heart. Remind us again that you, in saving us and sending your son Jesus to be our Savior, wasn't only to deliver us from condemnation, save us for heaven, but it was to bring us into a relationship with you, a communicating relationship where we talk to you and we hear from you because you speak to us. And so we pray for a renewal in our lives of believing in a God who speaks today. We trust that you'll speak through your word. We depend upon you. Forgive us when we have closed our ears, where we're not actually thinking about hearing what you have to say at all. May each and every one of us this morning just say, "Oh God, speak, for your servant hears." Each of us needing to hear what you have to say. Where will we be without your voice? Where would the sheep be without the voice of the shepherd? Oh God, speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of hearing. We live, most of you know where we live. We live on Omak Mountain Road. We stand outside today. If it's not foggy, you might be able to see close to where we live. And one of the things that we tend to have to deal with is rattlesnakes. So it's really important to hear. It's been a number of times when you walk outside your door and it's you walk with your ears open, right? One time I had gone outside and out the back of the sliding glass door, and you really want to tune your ears to hear that, because you never know where it's at. You know, I don't want to be a Mike McDaniel. I've heard a number of stories about Mike McDaniel where he does, you know, he's standing right on top of a rattlesnake and doesn't know it. So I want to be able to hear. And I remember, you fine tune that hearing. Where are you? Where are you? And then I walk closer to the dog kennel, and there's that rattlesnake slithering his way, going after a mouse that he obviously bit and was tracking down. And then I just watched him swallow that mouse whole. That was pretty fascinating. And then, of course, I put him out of his misery, or me out of my misery, or whatever. I don't know. But so hearing is really important, and that's certainly for caution. And we need to have ears that hear, because there are things to be cautious about. There are snakes, if you will, rattling in our culture, and we need to be aware and be keen on our hearing, because we need to hear, we need to distinguish between those dangerous sounds and then those wonderful sounds. A few weeks ago, I think it was, we had all the snow, right? We have a dry creek bed behind our house. Occasionally, it runs for maybe a month or thereabouts, depending on the snowpack. And you know, we had that warm stretch, right? And it's always exciting to hear for the first time that creek run. It just captivate. You know, you just stop whatever you're doing. And I'll get my phone and I'll write it on my calendar. I'll punch it in on my calendar. Creek started on, I don't know, it was January 8th or whatever date it was. You know, creek started. You know, because that's just such a wonderful sound. We don't get to hear it a lot. But what a wonderful thing it is when you hear the rushing sound of that creek. Now, it can be, you know, you can easily miss it. You know, sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, I hope I didn't miss. Maybe was it running yesterday, the day before? I don't want to miss the first day when that creek starts running. And it's wonderful, and it echoes off the rock face everywhere, and it's wonderful. And so I want my ears to hear the wonderful sounds of creation. We'll be tuning our ears to hear of nature when it begins to pop out in spring, right? Sometimes we're so busy to even bother listening at all, because we're caught up in all the other noise. And then, of course, there's the danger of distinguishing, the concern, the warning of distinguishing what are we hearing, what are we listening to? In the past few weeks, we've considered the importance of the Christian, of weighing things. What's important to God? What ought to be important to us? We considered the importance of distinguishing between earthly things and heavenly things. You know, remember what Paul said, set your mind on things above, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And we've been considering that. And last week we considered how the issue of contentment is a real important piece to what's important and what should be of utmost worth to us. And how we can be sometimes discontent with the things that we ought to be content with. Paul talks about that in Philippians. I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content, whether I'm bound or whether I'm abased. But sometimes our contentment is based on our circumstances, when it should be based on Christ. It should be based on our relationship with Jesus. And that's where Paul said, hey, listen, I've got Christ. I've got Jesus. So I'm okay if things aren't going like I'd like them to go. But then we talked about that holy discontent, how he knew Jesus, he knew Christ, and yet there was more. And he was pursuing that. I want to win Christ. I want to be found in him. And so he was pursuing Christ. And so we talked about that. And as we continued along these lines, something foundational for having this perspective, having the right perspective, weighing things accurately, what's important, what's not, being content in the things that we ought to be content in, and discontent for the things that we want to know more of, and that's Jesus. One of the things I think is foundational is is we need to believe in the nature of a God who still speaks and have ears to hear when he does speak. When we think about the gospel, when we think about Jesus Christ, and we think about what it means to believe and what it means to walk with God, we need to understand something. And that is, in saving us, he's saved us into a relationship that is defined by communication. God is still speaking, and he expects us to hear. And so the gospel of Christ is not merely about saving a sinner and making him a saint. It's not merely redeeming a soul from hell and making him a citizen of heaven. Praise God. If you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, your hope is in Christ. Amen. You're going to heaven. We pray for our loved ones here that are in Christ. We've been praying for our brother Chris and others, Chris Warren, and but we know that he's in Christ, and we know that if God takes him, then that's okay too. And yet that's not all. The gospel of Christ is about bringing an estranged man back into fellowship with his Creator so that they, God and man, can talk to one another again. It is the restoration of communion and fellowship with God. In saving you, he's done that through Christ, and only through Christ, so that he can talk to you, and so that you can hear, and even talk back to him, talk with him. When we think about it, as we've been considering the past few weeks, well, what is important about this life? What lies ahead? How do I better prepare for the journey? How do I live for what really matters? How do I discern the scales? And what's important? And the answer, I believe, the foundational answer to these questions is, if you listen, he will speak. From beginning to end, the scriptures are clear that it is the nature of God to speak. We see in the very beginning, Genesis 1:3, then God said, let there be light, and it was so. So we begin, the word of God begins with God speaking. Psalm 33, verse 9 carries along this thought. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. But then we go to the New Testament. We go to the Gospels, and we hear this. In the beginning was the... Say it like you mean it. The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here it is again. God speaking through the Word, Jesus Christ, the Logos. And this was this issue, this matter of a God who speaks was the indictment upon the people of God, because they had forsaken the God who speaks for gods that cannot speak. Psalm 115, verses 4 through 7, it says this, speaking of how the people had turned from a speaking God. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not smell. Feel, or feet that they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Again, there's this comparison between with the God who speaks and the gods who do not speak, because there are no such thing. Isaiah 66, verse 4. God speaking in reference to his people. He says, when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Zechariah chapter 7 carries that same thought. They refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders and they stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. You know, and the truth is, you know, we can talk about the Israel, we can talk about the people of God in the Old Testament and how they had turned from the God who speaks. But you know that the truth is that we often are no different, right? We're no different. And now, what I will say though is, you know, while our doctrine of God, of the nature of God, is orthodox. Our practice often is not. Well, you know, most everyone in this room might say that, yes, I believe that God spoke. But we don't live lives that believe that God still speaks. Now, we would say that he does, but we don't believe that way, as evidenced in how we live our lives, because we make a whole lot of decisions and a whole lot of life choices, and we look at our scales about what's important, what's valuable, and we really listen to ourselves. And we don't appeal to the God who still speaks. And we can open up the Word of God, which testifies that God spoke, but we don't expect him to speak when we open up his book. So if we are to live this life in a fulfilling and satisfying, God-honoring way, then we need to come back to the simple truth that God has not only spoken, but he's still speaking. He has, according to Psalm 29, he still has a voice full of majesty that breaks the cedars, that causes the wilderness to shake, and that thunders over many waters. It's still his voice. And yet, it's still the same voice that, if you're still, you'll hear him whisper. It should be evident to anyone who would open this book that God is always communicating, always articulating, always explaining, always leading, always guiding, always informing, always speaking. You know, we understand. Anybody thankful for the Word of God, by the way? Thankful. Where would I be without God's Word? Listen, know why that is? Because you opened a book that God had spoken, and you came away with the experience that God still speaks. Because if God doesn't still speak, then you will be stuck with a book where God spoke in the past but isn't speaking in the present. He is speaking his words through his word into your outer ear to get to your inner ear, which is in your heart. If you and I are listening, we'll hear. You know, one of the things that I think we take for granted is this very truth. We take for granted the fact that God speaks. Because it's so frequent in the scripture. It's so frequent we take it for granted. We read these narratives of these saints in the Bible. We read these narratives of men and women of faith, and over and over and over again we see and we hear and the scripture testifies that God is always communicating with them. And if they're listening, then they're hearing and they're responding back. And so we see it's God relating with man from cover to cover, communicating constantly. I did a little word study or a phrase study or whatever you want to call it. And which just reinforces the point that we're making here. The phrase voice of the Lord, voice of the Lord, just take that phrase. It's repeated 49 times in the Bible, voice of the Lord. And then add obey the voice of the Lord, and that's 22 times. Obey the voice of the Lord is repeated 22 times. And then these phrases, hear his voice, hears my voice, heard his voice, heard your voice, meaning his voice. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word. Total 87 times in the Bible. Okay? But let's move on. This category of phrases. The Lord speaks. The Lord spoke. The Lord will answer. The Lord answers. The Lord answered. The Lord called 68 times. Okay? I don't know if you're doing the math, but it's all adding up, right? God spoke. God spoke, God speak, God speaks, God talked, God called, God said, God answered, I will answer, he will answer 66 times. Then this phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, in some variation, is 18 times. And of those, what the Spirit says, or Spirit said or spoke, that's another 7 times and 5, another 12 times. And then, this is the one that, Thus says the Lord, a whopping 420 times. Is there any doubt that God speaks? We would not have the Bible, the Word of God, if God did not utter His words to those who will listen. We have this book because there were men that God had called, various men, kings, prophets, priests, fishermen, tax collectors, they're the bottom of the barrel, right? All kinds of people, because they heard the Spirit of God moving them to write the scriptures. They wrote the words that God spoke to them, and the Holy Spirit is still necessary for us to understand what they wrote and what He spoke, which tells us He still speaks. Big if we're listening. So, what would be the conclusion at this point is that we accept and believe that if God has indeed spoken and that God still speaks, then what is equally true is that God will speak to me. You know, one of the things that, you know, as some of you know, I work with some youth on Wednesday nights, mostly junior high into high school, but a dozen kids or thereabouts. And one of the things that I believe that God has me doing, there's a few different reasons, but one of them is this. Because I want these young people to know that God has something to say to them. Amen? And so as we look at Scripture, God is always appealing to our hearing. He's always trying to get our attention. How's that working, by the way? Has God work real hard to get your attention sometimes? Proverbs 8 says this, verse 32, "Now therefore listen to me." This is wisdom personified, that it's God. "Listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Isaiah 40, verse 28. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, ends of the earth, neither faints nor is worthy. His understanding is unsearchable." Listen to the words of Jesus. He talked a lot about hearing. And he spoke to those, there were those that he spoke to that were refusing to hear him. He says, "Having eyes, you do not see, and having ears, you do not hear, and you do not remember." Matthew 11, verse 15, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus says this 7 times, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So hearing God is not only essential, but it's the basis for us coming to Him in the first place. Hebrews 3, verse 7 says, "Today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." There is His call to listen. Romans 10, verse 14 and verse 17. "How then shall they call on Him," meaning those that are lost, "call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So then faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by the Word of God. I love what in Acts, and you know, when Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured down, tongues of fire, they're speaking in tongues, they're speaking in the languages of all the people that are out there. They go out testifying in all those languages, the wonderful works of God. The people are wondering what's going on with this. And this is, it says this of them. Of the disciples, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And then the people respond after they begin to hear the wonderful works of God in their own language. It says, "How is it that we hear?" Each in our own language in which we were born. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works. We hear. We hear. We hear. We begin because we heard. Hearing God is the witness that we've come in the first place. Listen to these scriptures. This is out of John 8, verse 47. Jesus says, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear." He's speaking to those that probably among the Pharisees and scribes and those kind of folks. "Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." John 18, 37, Jesus says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." 1 John 4, 6, the apostle says, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us." Again, hearing God is a test, is a witness that we've come to Him and we belong to Him. And then finally, hearing God is the affirmation that we're still walking with God. Again, we've been called to a relationship of communication with our Creator, with a God, our Savior, our Lord. John, Jesus says in chapter 10, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. My sheep," verse 27, "my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus is not talking only about salvation. He's talking about the relationship between shepherd and sheep and how that is ongoing. And the sheep hear his voice. And what is the shepherd doing? He's leading them along the way. He's leading them, go to Psalm 23. He's leading them to still waters. He's leading them to green pastures. He's leading them. Why? Because they can hear his voice. He is the shepherd who still walks and talks to his sheep. So, we did that one already. And that one, yeah, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. It happens. Here we go. So, this brings us to an expectation of God. We open up His Word. We meet with Him in prayer. What does God expect us to do? He expects us not just to listen. He expects us to expect Him to speak. Jesus says in Luke 11, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." I love what Jeremiah says. I've heard it said that it's God's phone number. I've heard it said that Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you have, which you do not know." Again, there's this expectation that God expects us to expect Him to speak. And now our problem, if we're honest, is that we really sometimes don't want to hear what He has to say. We believe that He does speak, but we are afraid of what He might say, right? That's probably part of the problem with our listening, is we're not sure of what He might say. Remember in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve had disobeyed, they had eaten of the fruit that they were, of the tree that they were supposed to avoid. And it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the prince of the Lord, or from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' And so Adam said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" And so part of the problem with God speaking and our listening is we're afraid of what God is going to say. And so we might hide because what he says is going to be convicting, and I already feel bad. Right? I told you before that when I had tried to smother my brother, it's actually a rhyme, I'm like a poet. I didn't plan on that, but I tried to smother my brother with a pillow, because with the pillow that I hit him in the head with, that made him cry because he hit his head against the wall. And why was I doing that? Because I didn't want mom and dad, who I just heard, pulled in. I got to somehow hide the evidence. I don't want to deal with what they might say. Isn't that in our, that's like in us, that this fear of what God might say. Israel in the wilderness had witnessed firsthand the power, the mighty power of the God who speaks. And they said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen in this day that God speaks with man, and yet he lives. But they understood that hearing the voice of God, because they were sinners, was a dangerous thing. And so they essentially said, Moses, you just speak for us. We don't want to hear the voice because we're afraid of that voice. And sometimes we're just afraid of the voice. He might tell us to do something or lead us in some way that we don't want to go. He might tell us to stop something that we don't want to stop. He might try to involve himself in our plans more than we want. Right? And so we cling to the orthodoxy of a God who has spoken, but we don't really want to expect God to speak to us. Do you know that he has something to say to each and every one of us? That he's got a plan, and he's got a purpose, and he's got a way. And yeah, some of the things that he has to say might make you uncomfortable. But it's a blessing. Amen? He speaks. He wants us to hear. And so, according to John 1:1, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is God speaking to man. Jesus is the voice of God incarnate, making it possible for man to speak with God and God to speak with man in loving communion again. Jesus, as the Word, makes it possible for us to hear God's words. You know what God is seeking? God's seeking good listeners. You know what? I think God's seeking good listeners. You know, we all have kids. You ever try to communicate something to your kids and then your kids just keep interrupting, thinking that they know what they're saying? Nobody else here? It's just our kids? Particularly our one kid? You can figure out who that might be. Especially mom. I think he knows what I'm talking about. And you know, and we've all been there. And what do? You know, you're with your kids and they're like, you're trying to communicate, explain something, and they're just kind of jumping in, trying to finish the sentence. And you go ahead and you wait for them to say what they're going to say. And then you, so are you ready to listen to them? It's waiting for you to just shut up. And we don't usually say that to our kids. Isaiah was a good listener. Remember, he had that vision of God, the holy, holy, holy God, and the throne of God, and the pillars shaking, and the angels shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And he's like, oh, woe is to me, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And God sends the angel to take a coal, the cherubim take a coal and to touch his lips, and that's symbolic of that, of his repentance and his cleansing and forgiveness. And then God, it seems, God speaks to himself. The triune God says, who will go for us? And that's what Isaiah says here. He says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me. He could respond with faithful obedience. He would keep responding with, yes, I will go, because he heard. He was in a position to hear. And God is looking for good listeners. In fact, I believe he was eager to hear the Lord. Oswald Chambers, Chris had shared him a little bit this morning. I'm going to share a little bit something else he wrote on a different day. It says, the call of God is not a reflection of my nature. My personal desires and temperament are no consideration. As long as I dwell on my own qualities and traits and think about what I am suited for, I will never hear the call of God. You got to understand the point that he's making there. I haven't got to the main point yet. If we look at ourselves and see what we're fitted for, then we're not in a position where we're listening. Because we're basically telling God what we're fitted for. But when God brings me into the right relationship with himself, I will be in the same condition Isaiah was. Isaiah was so attuned to God because of the great crisis he had just endured that the call of God penetrated his soul. The majority of us cannot hear anything but ourselves, and we cannot hear anything God says. But to be brought to the place where we can hear the call of God is to be profoundly changed. And again, I'm just going to repeat one thing. The majority of us cannot hear anything but ourselves. I don't know about you, that convicts me. Because I believe, if I'm honest with myself, I live a lot of my life listening to what I have to say and not what he has to say. You know, there was a time in early in the history of Israel when the word of God was scarce. And apparently, God was either not speaking, the people of the time were not in a place where they could hear God speak. But the word of God was scarce, it says, 1 Samuel 3. And then it goes on, but then God finds someone whom he can talk to, someone who will listen. He's a young boy. We don't know how old he exactly was, but he was young. Maybe he was middle school, maybe he was younger than that. He could have been 12 or whatever, but he was young. And he's being raised by Eli, by the way, who should be able to hear God but doesn't, because he's not a good priest. He's not a good judge. So he's bypassed Eli. In fact, there'll be a judgment upon Eli. You can go read about that. And God begins to speak to Samuel, and he's calling him by name, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel wakes up. And he runs into Eli's room and says, what, master, what? And he's like, go back to sleep. I didn't say anything. Go back to bed. And goes back to bed, and then again, the Lord calls out to him, Simon, Samuel, Samuel. And again, he gets up, and he does it. And I think it's maybe the third time. He gets up, and he rushes into Eli's room. Says the same thing. What, master, what? And then Eli, I don't know if I'm reading into it, but Eli remembers, oh, yes, that's the Lord. And maybe there was a time in Eli's life when he did hear God speak his name. Eli, Eli! But no longer. Because he's looking for a good listener, and Eli is no longer a good listener. And so he calls this young boy. Because he'll listen. Because he'll hear. And Eli gives him instructions, as if Eli pulls back from his own history about how he responded to God. And he says, when the Lord speaks to you again and calls you by name, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That's what you say when he talks to you again. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I've shared this before, but I remember it was a friend of mine, and it was several years, and he was in a hard spot. He was struggling, and we were talking, and I asked him the question, well, when was the last time God spoke to you? And he could go back in time to that moment when the Lord spoke to him, and he said no. And that was the last time that God had spoken to him. And no wonder his life was a mess, because he stopped listening. You want to know what's really important in life? You want to know what's of infinite worth? You want to live in the eternal things even while we're living among the earthly things? We want to learn what real contentment is in Christ and what real holy discontent to pursue Christ with everything is? Then we need to shut up and listen up. Because God has something to say. But we don't give Him the time to say anything. Because I do my quick devotional in the morning and I'm off to the races. We're not giving Him time. And He's trying to get a word in here and a word in there and a word in here. But we keep interrupting Him. And we treat prayer like it's the, hey, here's my stuff. And you take care of that mess. But we're not listening with our heart. Listen to what A.W. Tozer said. He said, God will speak to the hearts of those who prepare themselves to hear. Conversely, those who do not so prepare themselves will hear nothing, even though the word of God is falling upon their outer ears every Sunday. Do you understand what he's saying there? Just because you're here and your outer ears are working doesn't mean you're really hearing. He says this, good hearers are as important as good preachers. And I think sometimes our problem is we can't hear over our own voices. We believe in the nature of a God who speaks, but we are doing all the talking. We're too busy to listen. It just seems that, like us and our kids, I get to see God listening. And again, praise God for His patience and long-suffering. Amen? Praise God, and He's looking at us with love. But then as He's looking, you're kind of going on and on and on, and then He's like, are you done yet? You ready to talk? You ready to listen? You ready to meet? Because so far it's been a lot of one-sided stuff. And one-sided Christianity isn't getting us anywhere. It's a Christianity that believes that God has spoken and is still speaking. And it's people who can hear the living God that the world needs to hear from. Because they don't need to hear from a man that doesn't listen to God. They need to hear from men and women who listen to God because God speaks and they believe it and they expect it. God has something for you to say to each one of us. And He calls you by name, just as He called Samuel. He calls Carl, and He calls Margie, and He calls Colleen, and He calls Sharon, and He calls you by name. Are we listening to the shepherd calling our name? You know, remember when Jesus met with the woman at the well? I love that. I spent some time on that last fall. It was last year. And you remember Jesus meets with her and there's that great conversation, a lot of wonderful truths that come out of that. She is just a changed woman. And she goes back to town, right? She goes back to town to the place where people, she had a stigma and they looked down upon her. And that's why she was by herself in the middle of the day or whatever, because she had a reputation. But she went back to the people that thought ill of her and thought down upon her because, well, she did live an immoral life. She's like a 5-time divorcee, right? And so she's lived a life, a rough life, and people know it. But she goes back to those people because she's a changed woman, because Jesus has removed the stigma. And she goes back and she tells them about all that Jesus told her. And they're just intrigued. I love what I love what they say. And this is in John 4, verse 42. Let me turn there real quick. And many of the Samaritans, verse 39, of that city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified. Because of her word. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them. And He stayed there 2 days. Again, they're intrigued. They're fascinated by the things that He has to say. And they're fascinated by what's come over this woman. And many more believed because of His own word. And then it says, then they said to the woman, now we believe. Not because of what you said, For we ourselves have heard him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ. We heard for ourselves. And listen, praise God for the teachers and the preachers that God brings into our lives. Amen? We're thankful for them. We're thankful for the mentors. We're thankful for those that have prayed for us, those that have helped build us up in our most holy faith. Praise God for the blessed words of truth that came from their mouths, and we give God the glory for that. But we all need to stop relying upon other men and women to do the hearing and the listening for us. Praise God. We come together, we gather here, we hear God's word. We are coming to expect God to speak, taking a word that has been spoken and speaking it afresh in our hearts and lives. But he's calling you to listen. He's calling you to listen. He's calling you to listen to him. He's got something to say to you. He's calling your name. And you remember the church that he spoke to, Jesus spoke to in the church of Revelation? Maybe that's what's happening this morning. Can we hear the knock? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And you see where the burden lies? Burden lies upon the hearing. Can you hear? Can you hear the knock of conviction? Can you hear the knock of Jesus? Why is he on the outside of the door and not already in the inside? What's going on? Do you hear? Do you hear the voice of Jesus? So I want to close here with some practical, I'll just call it that for now, some suggestions to be a better listener. First of all, get a good sleep. Get a good sleep. Okay? Especially on a Saturday night, if you're planning on coming to church and looking around, and some of you are like, no, I'm kidding. Get a good sleep. Now, sometimes the older you get, the less sleep you get, and that's just the default. That's the way it is. But do your best. Get some rest. Guess what? If I get some rest, I'm a better listener. Okay? That's kind of a practical thing. Does that sound like, no, that's not spiritual enough? Get good sleep if you can. Okay? Don't stay up late. Don't stay up late on a Saturday night. Okay? Or whatever other study you got is Tuesday morning. So don't stay up late on a Monday night. You need to be engaged. That means you got to be awake. And that means you need to, in order to be a good listener, you need to have some rest. Okay? Is that too deep for us? Just get some rest. All right? Develop the habit of listening before you speak. I believe it's a practical instruction. Shut up before you open your mouth. You know, that's biblical, by the way. That's just not mine. It's biblical. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. Right? Obviously. And I always wonder, what does he mean? Slow to listen. Be quick to listen. To listen to who? He doesn't really tell you that. I think first and foremost, be quick to listen to God before you open your mouth. Get God's thoughts on the matter first before you seek the thoughts of others. We're all drawn to get the kind of counsel, the kind of words that kind of affirm what we're already thinking. And there's a wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Pray, but choose your counselors wisely, but first go to the counselor. Right? Nurture an inner culture of communion with the Lord. Just let's be honest. When we get into the car, what's the first thing that some of us do? We turn it on, okay? But who turns on the radio first? There's a few of us. Turn on the radio. It takes me about 12 minutes to drive from my house to the church. And there are times when I want to listen to some music. And then there are times when God says, keep that off. Let's spend a little time in the quietness of this vehicle. Let's talk about this day. We run to noise before we run to his voice. Don't make your default turn on the radio. Make your default talk to him. I love long trips, like going to Spokane, going, you know, whatever. And if I've been by myself, and we do a lot of talking in the car when it's me and the family, but if it's my iPod with all my songs on it, all those songs I like to listen to, whatever, right? But always, always, guys, oh, don't dive into that yet, John. We have a lot to talk about. And so all of a sudden, between here and Davenport, it's just been the talking and listening to the Lord. Oh, we rush to noise instead of the voice. We need to give him time, which means we need to establish new habits, new disciplines, new patterns. I think it was Robert Murray McShane says, I don't want to see anybody's face until I've seen his face. For some of us, that might be difficult because you got with kids and whatever and all these kind of, but I want to see his face first. Why? Because I want to hear his voice before I hear anybody else's voice. Isaiah, Samuel, their voice is precious. Peter up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is transformed before his eyes. Moses and Elijah are there. Peter says, let's just stay here. Build some tabernacles. Why bother leaving? This is everything that we would ever want. And then the Father says, behold my Son, hear him. Don't get caught up in what you see. Don't get caught up in the moment. Hear him. Live a life hearing with your inner ear. Amen. Jesus says, take heed how you hear. Is it a rattlesnake? Or is it a rushing stream? Take heed how you hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for your word that has